Thank you for listening to the East Side Remedy podcast, where an elder brother,
hey, it's Emmanuel,
and younger sister, hello, I'm Phoebe, try to normalize mental health issues by having casual and honest conversations about them. Hello.
Hi.
Do you know that you have a different voice when you speak in English compared to your Mandarin voice?
Likewise, same goes to you.
Really? Do I have higher pitch or lower pitch when it comes to English, I guess, when I speak in English?
I think higher.
Higher?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
When you speak in Mandarin, your voice is deeper.
That's interesting.
I was gonna say something, but I know that it's gonna be mean. So I'm like, Let's
control myself. Well, maybe you should learn the correct way of communicating with me so that I can still get your intention without feeling hurt.
Yeah, that's why I say your voice is deeper, and that's it. I'm not going to add anything else, period, full stop.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
Since we are kind of talking about talking and speaking,
mm-hmm.
That's basically what we're going to discuss today. And episode 7 is communication.
What is communication?
Communication is...
Is it just about talking?
Telling the other person what you're thinking and what you're feeling.
But I feel like it's not just about talking, though. I think it's also making sure that the other person receives the message that you're trying to send, and in return, allowing them to respond to your message. It's like a back and forth kind of thing.
Yeah. That kind of makes me think of... there's this person at work. She asks...
Mm-hmm.
It was so random. She asked me, Phoebe, what's the difference between praying and meditating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the difference?
I was like, well, I think meditating is more like quiet. Like, it's... Praying is more like communication, like back and forth, I feel like. But with meditation, it's more you by yourself.
I feel like meditation is more like for you and having that mind, you know, like a clear mind to really talk to yourself, self-talk. Or to just remind yourself, right?
But also, I guess with meditation, you're mm-hmm. more mindful of your surrounding. Like, you're more here and now and present. But, like, praying, I don't know. Maybe they're the same, now that I think about it. I don't think there's a right answer.
No, I would feel like when it comes to meditation, it's really... Like I say, to be mindful and to have a clear mind and, you know, to talk to yourself, I guess. I'm not sure. I don't meditate that much. So I don't think I should talk about this anyways.
I don't have the patience for meditation most of the time.
That's why you should practice meditation.
Or like yoga. I don't have patience for yoga.
Yeah.
So that was a total sidetrack. Well, not really. Praying is kind of communication. Anyway, so since we're talking about communication, I do want to point out that, mm-hmm. or at least this is what I think about communication. I think that communication is definitely a skill to learn,
mm-hmm.
especially our job as a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, well, I know that communication is probably like 90% of our job. 'Cause we need to communicate not only what the client may be thinking or feeling, 'cause sometimes clients have difficult time even understanding what they're trying to say in session.
Mm-hmm.
So then they will just keep venting and ranting and keep going and going, and then they will pause and be like, did that even make sense? So like our job as a counselor, we are going to rephrase
mm-hmm.
their restate mm-hmm. their whatever they said out loud, so that we are kind of like a mirror for them to look at themselves, but then it's like in a different lens.
That's actually a good point, because I feel like a lot of times people, when they say that, oh, you know, you're a counselor, and so what do? You're just like listening to all the problems and issues. Actually, you know, one of my lecturers told us what makes counselors different than a good friend, you know, because if you have a problem, yeah. you can rant to your friend, right? And they can give you advice or whatnot. But as a counselor, you have the skills and the techniques, right? Like clarification or paraphrasing and all these other skills that you are trying to check with your clients and make sure that, okay, you know, if you're here for this issue, I want to help you with this issue. And to make sure that we are on track on achieving our goals here in this session. You know? Yeah.
So, I would say one of the misconceptions with counseling too is that people think that you go to a counselor to get advice mm-hmm. on things,
mm-hmm.
but that's actually the total opposite of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give advice. I think a lot of times our role can be confused to what our coach would do, like a mm-hmm. life coach.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I would say a life coach would focus more on giving advice and direction mm-hmm. In a session, but for a counselor, we, like you said, we've been trained to ask specific questions mm-hmm. to help clients to think of
answers for themselves. Yeah, for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but also, I was thinking too, as a counselor,
mm-hmm.
we help clients to learn skills to better communicate with their friends, with their families. So a lot of times I have clients coming in and tell me that they don't know how to say certain things to their families. And so then I will teach them some skills, which we will mention later on in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can still get their point across to their friends and family without being rude or weird about it.
Yeah, definitely. So
what are some of the communication styles that you know of? Do you know of any styles?
Like how you communicate, right?
Yeah, communication styles, yeah.
I know some people can be quite direct.
And what do you mean by that?
It's almost like no filter, but it's not like indifferent. You know, it's like if they have something on their mind, they will just say it.
Yeah.
And there are some people who are a little bit more reserved. So mm-hmm. so then communication is not just about what they say anymore, and it's about their body language too. Because you can actually tell from the other person like what they are trying to say or how they feel by observing how they behave or their body language.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of reminds me of, so I actually taught a parenting class
mm-hmm.
Last week,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I talked to parents about was communication and how important it is for parents to be aware, like you said, of their body language. Because some parents, they grew up in an era where spanking is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to them, the way they communicate indirectly to their kids sometimes
mm-hmm.
is through spanking.
Yeah.
They may not think that that's a way of communicating, but like you said, like, your body language can say so much sometimes. So I have learned of different communication styles when I was in school, and one of the ways to explain different communication styles, I really like this way,
mm-hmm.
is to use different animals. And this, I would say, well, I actually use this little chart with adult mm-hmm. clients too, but I mainly use it when I help counsel younger children
mm-hmm.
so that they can understand. So the three animals are the little mouse, and then a tiger, and then an owl. So the little mouse represents passive communication style. The tiger is aggressive communication style. And then the owl would be assertive communication style. When you think of passive, what do you think it looks like, or what do you think it sounds like for you?
I think when it comes to, I think my first thought of a passive communication style is to really like not to deal with it. It's like trying to avoid it. You know, it's like taking a step back and be like, whatever.
Yeah, so usually more like quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So usually lack of confidence, which we kind of talk about confidence in episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lack confidence, you probably talk in a way that's more passive, lack of eye contact, looking down, not really expressing your feelings or needs, like you said, avoiding problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sounds like, it's fine, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, I'm okay with whatever you say or whatever you want. So kind of like just go with the flow kind of person, but not in like a positive way, because they don't, most of the time, they don't have their own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next one is the aggressive communication style. When you think of aggressive, what do you think?
I think it's more strong. It's like direct and a stronger personality when it comes to a tiger, right? It's like, it's just a very strong style of communication, I think.
Yeah, usually very like straightforward, rude. People who don't really care or think of other people's feelings mm-hmm. most of the time. They just think about themselves.
Yeah.
Usually very angry and loud. And a lot of finger pointing, eye rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sounds like, we are doing this because this is what I want. Like, this is what we're doing because I'm the dad or I'm the mom because I said so.
Mm-hmm. Very bossy.
Very bossy, yeah. And
yeah.
Usually they use a lot of like, you know, like the finger pointing words like, you did this, you did that, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of like blaming accusations. So that would be like a tiger, very aggressive.
Mm.
And then the last one, assertive. When you think of the word assertive, what do you think?
I think it's a good balance of both passive and aggressive. It's like, it's in the middle of the two extremes, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly what you're saying. When you use assertive communication style, you are telling people what you need, but in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating your boundaries. So, for example, if you don't want to play soccer, you would just tell that person, hey, I don't feel like playing today. Is it okay if we play another time? So it's not just saying your needs, but also making some sort of suggestions to find like a good middle ground. So hopefully everyone can learn after listening to this episode, learn how to use a more assertive type of communication.
Okay, so you are trying to tell me that if I'm a passive communicator, or if I'm an aggressive communicator, it's not too late to fine-tune and calibrate the way I communicate? Is it possible?
I mean, yeah, I mean, again, going back to how I think communication is a skill,
mm-hmm.
it means that just like with any other skills, there's always opportunity for you to grow in it and refine it.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're good at communicating doesn't mean that you can't continue to refine that skill. And if you notice that if you're bad at it, then hey, it's something to grow in. So which communication style do you think you are?
For me, here's the thing. I feel like it depends on situations.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like, okay, if you're in a situation where you're kind of on the authority position, so...
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously, the best way to communicate is on the more aggressive or assertive kind of style. You know, but... Or maybe, like, let's say if you're in family situation, then you might communicate differently. Because I realize some people, they do that. Whenever they are with different people, they communicate differently. But I still think that at the end of the day, you still have one style in communicating. Yeah. Is it? Do you think so?
Well, I think... I'm trying to think, because I think before I learned about different communication styles, mm-hmm. I was definitely more aggressive in the past, more blunt and straightforward, and I didn't have any filter. And whether that's with family, friends, or even coworkers. But now I feel like I'm not as blunt or straightforward anymore. I think I'm more between like passive and assertive. I definitely with stranger.
Yeah.
I'm very passive.
I think that's actually the first the initial response for a lot of people. You know, because they are not close or they don't really know the other person. That's why they're a little bit more reserved. Unless you have the type of personality that, you know, can just put yourself out there and be super friendly, super extrovert. So usually you're not really on a passive scale.
I think I've become a little bit more assertive now, because especially with friends, because mm-hmm. I have learned that in the past when I was too aggressive, people kind of
they don't like
what's the word I'm looking for,
they don't like it, too strong,
yeah, like shun away from me. So then I realized that, and so I think I'm better at it now with my friends. I mean, I'm not sure with you. I feel like I can be aggressive sometimes.
That's why I say when you're in different situations, you communicate differently. So for your case, maybe in your family, you're more like a, you know, strong and direct kind of person. And maybe if you're with someone else, because I see that happen all the time. I mean, not just you. I mean, not just you, you know, like I see how people communicate with their friends. I'm like, oh, you know, that's different. Right. Or maybe let's say a student is trying to communicate with a teacher, or a student is communicating with their friends, And you can kind of see that, they communicate differently. But
I definitely think that growing up, I remember in a way looking up to you on how to communicate with outsiders. A lot of times I feel like you are better at communicating than I do. I don't know if it's something that you have learned from somewhere or I don't know, especially with like your friends or strangers. I feel like you have better way of saying things a lot of times.
I think it's called wisdom.
There's something called humility.
Yeah. I have so many things that I want to say, right? Because it's like whenever you throw me a line, it's like I already thought of another line that I could potentially use to like roast you.
So the reason why you're not saying it here because everybody else is listening to you. So you're trying to save face.
No, I'm trying to be nice. You say communication is a skill, right? So I'm learning. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to point finger and be very aggressive. So now I'm trying to be more assertive, to be calm, more calm.
Sure. So
But I do think that when it comes to communication, eye contact is very important. I think it's something that I'm still learning, especially how sometimes it's not comfortable to look at someone's eyes and talk to them, because like people they try to when they look away, it's kind of like okay, you're not dealing with this problem. You need to, I think this is what I do sometimes with my students when I talk to them, and then they're trying to look away because they're in trouble, right? Let's say if you got in trouble, and then when I call your name, I want to talk to you, right? That means I want you to look at me. So I feel like sometimes they're just trying to avoid this eye contact. I'm like,
Well,
no.
I've actually heard that making eye contact is like a cultural thing. Apparently, I've heard that Americans are way more comfortable with making eye contact while talking than Asians do. Do you agree with that?
I'm not really sure whether it's a culture thing or not, but I just feel like, yeah, maybe it's not the most natural thing if you try to, I remember, I still remember this. I think when I first went to the States and I was trying to talk to a friend or a roommate, right? But I don't like to keep eye contact. And then he was saying that, oh yeah, when you're talking to a person, it's nice if you look at a person. So I was like looking at him, and he was like, there's a difference between looking and staring. He's like, you're staring at me. I was like, what about you ask me to look at you? Because I think in the Chinese language, staring and looking, they are the same word.
It? Well,
I mean,
staring is like 瞪着你看, right? Like,
oh yeah, but they are both like, to me they are both like kan, so it's like ni kan wo or something like that, right? So I was like, okay, they are kind of the same, but yeah, actually different. So yeah, and sometimes I find that when I am doing my YouTube thing, and sometimes I don't like to look into the camera because it's so weird, it's like you have to look at the screen. And to talk to film it and to do it as if you are talking to a person, as if you are communicating your message, right? So I think, yeah, like you say, it's a skill. And speaking about culture, yeah, so that's my answer for you. I am not very sure, but I think that we do that a lot. So
No, yeah, that's a good point. I know that whenever I'm thinking and talking at the same time, I can't stare at that person. If I stare at that person, I'm gonna forget my talking points. So most of the time when I'm thinking and talking, I just look to the left or right.
Yeah, I think that's a natural way of not to say responding, but I think I have once read about how when you are thinking or when you are like looking away, you're actually like thinking about something because you are trying to recall. That's why they say, you know, you are trying to recall a memory or some information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
in terms of communications within the Asian family, mm-hmm. a lot of times, how do I even say this? So
just say it.
I noticed that whenever we were to visit, like, whether our relatives, like our
family dinner,
aunts and uncles, one of the things that they would say when you first step into their house, they would be like, oh, you look like you've gained some weight. Or like, oh, you look more handsome or pretty now. So I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like a lot of times that communicates to me that looks is more important in the Asian culture.
It's called superficial.
Like, or is that normal? I don't know if that's normal.
I'm not sure if it's just I'm not sure if it's just a Malaysian thing. Or maybe it's like, you know, do Indians do that? Do Japanese, you know, do Chinese? Like, what about other culture? But I feel like it is something that have been passed down. Like, but I don't know. I feel like they just say it, but they don't really think about it. And it's something that has been passed down in generations. And not only that, I think nowadays, if they don't comment on how you look like, they would usually ask if you're in a relationship or not. Let's say if you're single, right? If you're 30 and single, they're going to be like, oh, you know, when are you getting a boyfriend or girlfriend? Are you seeing somebody? Or let's say if you're 35 or you're 40. I mean, I have friends who are 40 and, you know, they are still not married. And then the family or cousins or aunties, usually aunties for whatever reasons, you'd be like, oh, when are you getting married? Or even after you're married, right? And they'll be like, oh, when are you having a kid? And even after you have a kid, they'll be like, oh, when's the second one coming?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm really not sure whether this is a Malaysian thing. I guess our listeners can let us know if you're listening from somewhere else and yeah, you're part of the Asian community and, you know, whether you're Koreans or Taiwanese, Chinese, Indians,
yeah,
Nepali, just let us know.
Well, that makes me think too. I wonder if most of the time,
mm-hmm.
Asians, they don't know how to communicate what they are really thinking and feeling. Because to me, when they say things like, when are you getting married? When are you having kids? Or, oh, you've gained some weight. What they're trying to really say to me is like, I'm worried. You are at the age where most people already have kids. Most people are married. I'm worried that you have gained weight to the point that might affect your health. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, mm-hmm. it's like, I wonder if it's because they just don't feel comfortable sharing their true feelings about certain situations. So they're using these ways of communicating instead.
Yeah, so then it makes me think of this, right? So are you asking me a question just because you want to know the answer to it, or is it because you really care about me?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, if you ask me whether I'm seeing somebody, right, is there another way that you can actually ask me? Instead of saying like, oh, why are you still single? You know, I'm like, yeah, maybe you should ask me whether I'm planning to have a relationship or not. Because some people, I don't know, I'm just saying some people, they are very comfortable with where they're at. And
maybe they
don't want to be in a relationship, you know, or maybe they don't want to have any children, right? That's their choice. So Yeah.
So again, it's like going back to how can we communicate in a way that is actually true to what we're feeling and what we're thinking, which is why assertive communication is so important.
It's the best style.
I mean, yeah. So I think whenever I think of communicating assertively, I think of I statements. Have you heard of I statements before?
I'm not really sure. I don't think so. Okay, I don't think so.
Okay. So if anyone who's listening has been through like counseling, you probably have heard of I statements. It's literally just using this statement called I feel blank when blank because blank, I need blank. So this is like kind of like the layout of I statement. You start with telling that person how you feel about that situation, which in the past episode we have talked about feelings, and you can definitely use that feelings wheel to help you to fill in that blank. I feel blank. So I feel, let's say I feel frustrated when blank. So you are describing a situation. You are not pointing fingers at the person. You're pointing fingers at the behaviors or the object or whatever. So I say, I feel frustrated when the clothes are on the ground, the dirty clothes are on the ground. And then you have to explain why. Like, why do you feel frustrated? I feel frustrated when dirty clothes are on the ground because it's messy to me. So then once you have said all that, you need to end it with what is it that you need from that person? Because we can communicate our feelings all day long and why we feel that way, but if we don't really give a solution to the person or kind of come to a middle ground with that person, then it's going to be hard. So you need to end this with what is it that you need? So I feel frustrated when I see dirty clothes on the ground because it's really messy to me. So what I need is that whenever you are done with your clothes or you want to wash your clothes, to put it in the laundry basket instead of on the ground. And I know it sounds fairly, very like robotic if you were to use this layout, but the more you do it, the more you feel comfortable. You don't have to use this specific layout all the time, but just the fact that you are focusing more on what is it that you yourself need and not accusing the other person. Because I statement is like the most objective way of expressing your feelings and thoughts. So,
Let's practice on this one, because I was thinking, right, let's say if I have a friend who's always late, forever late, right? And one day I couldn't stand it anymore, let's say. So how do I say? Should I say like, oh, I feel frustrated whenever you are in whenever you are late, because so I need to come give a reason. Why am I frustrated when this person is
yeah, why
late?
are you frustrated? Yeah.
Because you're always late. But that's not,
No, like probably when someone is like very late to the appointment, it means that they're not respecting your time, right?
But
Because
that's just
you're
that's just how they are. So let's say I guess one of the things, not to say that it can be a bit dangerous about this thing, is that you know how some people they can get butthurt about this whole situation. Like when you're telling, because when I'm using I statement on, let's say, a close friend, right, or a friend or somebody, and then they thought that I am attacking them. So I'm just trying to think that, okay, so an example would be if my friend is late and I've mentioned it a lot of times in the past. That, hey, because like I'm not sure about you right now, but at least for us, I feel like when we grow up, right? Because our parents, especially our dad, he's so like
Yeah.
on time. And I'll remember this one time that I think our school actually starts at 7:45 or 7:30, one of those, right? And I'll be at school like at least 30 or 45 minutes before school, you
Yeah.
know? So that's kind of ingrained in our system. So for me, I'm structured. If it starts at 8, I want to be
Yeah.
there before 8, right? But I
Yeah.
also know that some people, when you say that it starts at 8 o'clock, and they're gonna leave their house at 8 because they just assume that okay, it will really start at 8:30, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm
Yeah.
like, I'm in this conflict that, you know, being on time, that's something that I value, right? So if I tell you this over and over again and you're still not getting my point, that means that
Yeah.
it's not being communicated properly. So if I use the I statement, I should
Yeah.
say that I feel frustrated when you're late because it shows that you're not respecting my time.
Yeah, and I know it's definitely going to be hard when it comes to actually communicating how you feel about certain situation because like you say you don't want to hurt the other person, but a lot of times when you use I statements, it shows the other person that you have your own boundaries too, and you are not just living this life for them. Like you are living your own life too. So,
So how would
we
you
can't.
end the statement? Like the example that
Yeah, so before I tell you that too, something else is I was thinking too, like a lot of times we can communicate how we feel about a situation. And that's something we can control. And what we can't control is how other people react, how they think, and how they feel about us. If they are a good friend, they'll probably be very understanding and appreciate that you actually voice out your concerns. But if they don't take your concerns well, then maybe you should reevaluate your friendship with this person because it sounds like this person is not really respecting your boundaries that you have. So then you can let the person know, hey, I need, you can end it with, this is what I need, is that moving forward, if you are late to the appointment for 15, 20 minutes, then we may need to reschedule our appointment. Or at least you have to let me know, like, if you're going to be late, like, how late.
Yeah, so I feel like when it comes to this kind of situation, you know, because let's say if you have a good friendship, right? And this is just part of who they are. Like we all know, like we all have friends or that one friend who's always late. And we all have that one friend who's always early or on time. And if you don't have any of those type, then you might be one of those type, right? So
Yeah.
and I guess it's like, you know, there are some people who would say, oh, you can't be so structured, you know, they are not that late, they are only half an hour late. You know,
Okay.
because for them they have their values. Like we see things differently. You get what I
Yeah.
mean? Because I at least
No, so
for
then,
us,
yeah, then that's going back again to what I was saying, like that's all we can do, right? Like we can do our part is to communicate that so that they understand our boundaries and what our expectations are. But then at the end of the day, we can't control how they react to the situation or what they do afterwards. We can't control that. So if they still choose to come late, then you should ask yourself, like, are you okay with that? Or do you want to stick with your own boundaries? Of like, hey, I'm just gonna wait for you for 15, 20 minutes, and if you're not here, then I'm sorry.
Yeah,
So
so
that's
like
gonna be up to
so
you.
what are you gonna
Yeah.
do, right? Because I'm saying like if you're hanging out with a group of friends and
Yeah.
everyone is okay. You get what I mean? So let's say if you're in a
Yeah.
group of five and you're the only
Yeah.
person who really value who values punctuality and the other
Yeah.
four they'll be like it's fine, you know, we can just wait and chit chat. But I feel like yeah, so if you are being put in this situation where everyone else is okay, I mean, it doesn't make sense for you to be like, all right, you know, screw that. This person is like 10 minutes or 15 minutes late or even 30 minutes late. I'm just going to walk out of dinner, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, if I use the I statement, I know that I can't control how the other person reacts, right? So I think that's why sometimes whenever we set the time for a plan, we would usually tell this person like 30 minutes earlier. You know, if it starts at 8:30, right? So we as a group, we have decided behind this person's back that, okay, this person is always late. Let's tell this person that it starts at 8 instead of 8:30, because it actually starts at 8:30. And if this person comes at 8, you know, 15 is still okay. You know, so I think that's also like, another solution to fix this problem.
Sure, like whatever you think works. But I think the whole point about using I statement is that you are doing your own part and you can't really control the other person. So again, I statement is just that one of the many ways to like express your feelings and thoughts in a very objective manner and not accusing other people or being too passive. Again, like we said earlier, it's a good medium.
So this is like based on facts because it happened. So you can actually argue it.
What do you mean?
It's like because it's objective, right? So that means for something to be objective, it's black and white, correct? Like it's not gray. So if a person is late, that's a fact that you are late. So I can use that. Or if that's a dirty laundry, you know, it's there. It's objective. Black and white. It's there.
Oh,
on the
floor. Okay, yeah. I know what you mean. You know? Yeah, yes.
So I can't use things that are not things that haven't happened. Because then
or you can't say like, oh, I feel frustrated when you're lazy. You know, it's like, but how do you know that person is lazy?
Mm-hmm.
That person is just, you know, taking its own time. Like maybe he will put the dirty clothes like tomorrow, but then you're more irritated by dirty clothes than that person does. So it's like you're going to accuse that person for having his own timing for things. Like that's just weird, you know what I mean? So but anyway, so another way that I've heard or I've learned in terms of communication is through Gottman. And Gottman, they are the marriage experts, I guess. You would say that. So one of the things they said is as a couple, they were able to predict whether an argument is going to turn out to be a good argument or a bad argument based on how the couples start their argument. So they suggest to start your arguments with what they call the soft startup. Have you heard of a soft startup before?
Nope, but I'm very curious because when it comes to argument, or I would call it intense discussion, usually there are emotions involved, and we all know where it's heading when there are emotions involved in intense discussion.
Yeah, so which makes arguments hard, or makes it hard to have a soft startup. So usually they say if you come into an argument with accusations and very aggressive style of communicating, then usually it will turn out very bad. But then if you start by saying like, hey, there's something I really want to discuss with you, so like more like soft in a way, like not just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you left the clothes out again, are you serious? Like that's not a soft startup. So instead of that, you can always start with like, hey, like, can I talk to you about something? And usually it will end better then.
Or what about this? Can you do it this way? Say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And I think you might not be very happy, but I just want to let you know. And
Yeah.
also, at least I feel like at least you preempt the other person. So the other person will be like, okay, what is this person trying to tell me? Like, what did I do? Or what did he do? Or what did she do? Right?
Yeah. Or I have heard of other ways to like, hey, I know your intention is not probably not this, but I just want to make sure. So, yeah, those are just a couple ways of like how assertive communication style would look like. I'm sure there are more, but we have been talking for like 45 minutes now, so
Yeah, I think those are really good. The first thing that we look at, it was the animals, the aggressive, passive, and assertive style. And we also look at the I statement and also the, is it Gottman? How is there a name for this? Or just another
so it's
way?
just yeah, just Gottman's way of communicating.
Communication, okay, to start up soft, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think
So.
I've learned a lot today. I feel like maybe there are some of these things we have been doing, but we don't know what's the term. You get what I mean? It's like you don't know that you're actually communicating very passively. Like there's actually a term on how you communicate, right?
Probably. Yeah. So.
So yeah, I think that's all for today. It's good talking to you again.
You too. I hope you have a good Easter Sunday. By the time we upload this, it wouldn't be Easter anymore, but now it's Easter, so.
Yeah, it's Sunday. All right, have a good weekend, and I will talk to you soon. And thank you guys for listening to
Thank you guys.
our podcast. Have a good day. Bye bye.
Bye.